Hey everyone, it's Sam, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. Today we're diving into Built by Roma Agrawal, a structural engineer who worked on the Shard in London. Sophie, you're an engineer's dream guest for this one, so what caught you first about it?
Hey there, Sam, it's great to be here. What caught me is how she makes you see the world differently. Every building, every bridge, it's a battle against gravity and the elements, and she explains that with such wonder. It's not a dry textbook at all.
Yeah, I was honestly bracing for something technical, but she opens with this idea that every structure is fighting two invisible enemies. And the first concept she hits you with is the load path. Can you explain that a bit?
Sure. The load path is basically the journey of weight. Think of a roof. Its weight travels down through the walls, into the foundations, and finally into the earth. If any part of that path is weak, the whole thing fails, whether it's a Lego tower or the Great Pyramid.
Right, it all comes down to managing forces. And that's where the materials come in. She talks about four building blocks: stone, wood, steel, and in concrete. Each has a personality, doesn't it?
Totally. Stone is strong in compression, meaning it loves being squeezed. That's why the Egyptians could stack millions of tons of limestone. But it's weak in tension, so it snaps when pulled apart. That's why stone beams can't span very far.
And then wood is the opposite in a way. It's flexible and strong in tension. She talks about Japanese temples that have stood for over 1,000 years, surviving earthquakes because they're designed to sway and absorb the energy, not fight it.
Exactly. They use intricate joinery without nails, so the whole structure can dance with the earth. It's a lesson that strength isn't always about being unyielding. Sometimes you have to move with the force.
That's such a cool mindset shift. And then steel comes along and changes everything. It's strong in both compression and tension, so it gave us the skyscraper.
Right. The steel frame meant the walls became just a curtain, a skin hung on the skeleton. That freed architects to design open interiors and wrap buildings in glass. Agrawal's own work on the Shard uses a diagrid of triangulated steel that acts like a giant tube.
A tube that sings in the wind, she says. But what about concrete? Everyone thinks it's so boring, but she makes it sound magical.
She calls it liquid stone. You can pour it into any shape, and it hardens into something incredibly strong in compression. But it's weak in tension, so the genius was embedding steel bars or rebar inside it. The concrete handles the squeezing, and the steel handles the pulling. That unlocked so many possibilities.
Yeah, I love that part. She describes watching concrete being poured as this chaotic, liquid slurry that turns into a solid that'll bear unimaginable loads for centuries. It's like a magic trick.
It really is. And then she moves on to shapes. The arch is so elegant because it redirects gravity outward and downward along its curve, so the stones are held in place by geometry, not glue.
And the triangle is the only shape that can't be deformed without changing its sides. That's why you see triangles everywhere, in trusses and the Eiffel Tower. A square frame will collapse, but a triangle holds its shape.
Right. And then there's the hidden world of foundations. She points out that the ground is not solid and uniform. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is a famous example of what happens when the ground is too soft on one side.
So engineers use piles, long columns driven deep into the earth until they hit strong rock. The Burj Khalifa sits on a massive concrete raft supported by hundreds of deep piles. It's like the building has roots.
Exactly. And then she gets into how buildings resist wind and earthquakes. For wind, they use a concrete core and outriggers, and in some towers, they install tuned mass dampers. Those are giant pendulums that swing opposite to the wind, keeping the building stable.
It's almost musical, like the building is playing a duet with the wind. And for earthquakes, she says the old approach was to make buildings rigid, but that's a mistake. They have to be ductile, like a willow tree in a storm.
Yes, they design plastic hinges that bend and deform to absorb energy, so the building might be damaged, but it won't collapse. Lives are saved because it's flexible.
You know, the book is also really human. She talks about her own journey from India to the US to the Shard, and the anxiety of checking calculations for a skyscraper. And she honors the iron workers and concrete finishers who make it all happen.
Right. A building isn't the creation of a single genius architect. It's the collective achievement of thousands of skilled hands and minds. That's such an important point.
And it challenges the idea that engineering is cold and mathematical. She argues it's deeply creative, like a form of storytelling with physics and materials. The best engineers are artists.
I love that. She wants us to look up at a ceiling and think about the load above. Feel the tension in bridge cables. Imagine the dampers swaying in the wind. The world becomes a museum of engineering marvels.
For me, the big takeaway is this idea that strength can come from flexibility. We usually think of strong as unyielding, but the willow tree survives the storm. That applies to buildings, but honestly, it applies to life too.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And hey, if you want to explore more of these hidden stories, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So next time you cross a bridge, give a little nod to the engineers. And we'll see you in the next one.